Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Happy New Year, Susie!
Happy New Year, happy third anniversary. Welcome to episode 147 of the Groom Pod, recorded on December 31st, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to talk about aggressive dogs. Our definition du jour is the C of A, and we're going to talk about referring to dogs as it. All right, you can join us and ask your own questions on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod because that's definitely the easiest way to get us on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, pretty much everywhere else. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, donation button, and Patreon link at www.thegroompod.com. And remember to keep sharing us with your friends. We've kind of slowed down on the growth there, but it's because we're not running a bunch of Facebook ads. I'm convinced that's part of it. And remember to support our sponsors. And just in case you forget, our sponsors are Best Shot Pet Products, South Park Professional Pet Products, and Evolution Shears, and then, of course, Amazon. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. How's your week gone?
Well, you know, I've had such a pleasant week because I only worked one day this week. I worked on Wednesday. Boy, this is a new model for me. I kind of liked it. I worked on Wednesday, and then I've had off since then. So
hey, that's
Thursday,
nice.
Friday, Saturday. This is my fourth day, and it's been very healing because I didn't set up a whole lot of have to do's for my, you know, I mean, I've got so much that I could do, including editing my book. But I instead gave this to myself as a, you know, Christmas, New Year's, birthday gift. 6 days of just rolling with it, you know.
Excellent. And that is the new motto, isn't it?
And yes, in fact, out of this brief staycay, I have developed my motto for 2018, which is let it roll.
So let it roll, let it roll.
Let it roll, let it roll. You know, like we don't need to rock it. Just let it roll. You know, I'm just really determined to take life a little bit easier this year. And that means that I am going to better manage expectations of myself.
I think that's great.
So we're just letting it roll. We're into having more fun.
Yeah.
We're into being ourselves. We're into turning 78 without freaking out.
Yeah. Let it roll. Day.
Let it roll, you know?
Yep. So I'm usually let it roll person for the most part. And, you know, there's some issues that I'm not good without having a plan. I need to have a plan and a backup plan and then a third plan just in case. But as long as I've got a plan, I can let it roll. But I've had this weird situation pop up with Danielle's client, one of Danielle's clients.
Oh, okay.
One of the doodles. I groomed the doodles 6 weeks ago. This is the one that has the gigantic, massive, big doodle and then the sheep doodle. And nobody was there when I got there. The dogs were crated. I got the dogs. I did them myself. By the time I finished, the ex-husband was there waiting for the kids to come home from school. What I didn't realize is she never left a check. There was no check or no payment or anything, right?
Right.
Which, you know, This is my fourth or fifth time at their house. I know where they live. They can't hide. It's a fairly reasonably kept house. They're not untidy people. So I imagine their finances are tidy as well. And it just puzzled me a little bit. I don't deal with that a lot. And I especially have never dealt with it with somebody that's this new. So I sent her a text message and she said, oh, let me just mail it to you. So boom, a couple days later, check came in the mail. No problem. Then we had an appointment for this week or this upcoming week, but she called me right before Christmas to see if I could get the dogs in before Christmas. And I could because I had a dog pass away. So I just worked late one night and snuck her in at the end of a day with these, you know, massive doodles. And they weren't there when I was finished with the dog. And once again, there was no payment. No payment. So I left a message. I left my address. I drove away from the house, not thinking much about it. And then I realized, like last week, that they hadn't paid me yet at all. So I sent a text message to her and I said, hey, I was looking for the check. I was wondering if maybe it got stolen because we have a lot of mail theft. And she goes, oh my, it's sitting here in my checkbook. Do you want to come by and get it? Well, they're like 30 miles from my house. I really don't want, nor do I have the time to drive over there and pick a checkup that should have been given to me on the day I groomed the dogs. So I said, oh, how about if you just mail it to me or PayPal it? Well, I still haven't received the check and I never received a text message after that. I don't know how to deal with this. How would you deal with this?
Well, I would deal with it quickly for one thing. You just got to say,
do I drive over and get the check?
No. You need to say, I need you to put it in the mail. You shouldn't have completed that discussion without choosing whether how to pay it and her making a statement of what she was going to do. You kind of short circuited your process there. Do you see?
Well, I didn't. She never responded. I said, how about if you mail it or PayPal? And I got no response. Now, do I call? Is that my next step?
Do this. Just send her a text and say, please mail the check to da-da.
Okay. That worked last time. I'm so surprised it didn't instantly work this time. Because if it had, I wouldn't have chewed on it so much. But now I'm chewing on it. Now I'm like,
yeah, you just say, I can't get by. I need you to just put it in the mail. I need you to put the check in the mail, you know.
I should probably check the mail before I do that.
And then before you go out for the next visit, you need to check and make sure that she's going to leave the payment.
Yeah, right. I won't do it again unless she leaves the payment. You're right. Because they live a life that's always gone. And I can see it's going to be, what do you call it? A latchkey dog. You know, I'm going to be going there and letting myself in and out. So.
Yeah, you know, like I'm happy to serve you, like your dogs. Everything's good, except we've got one problem. I need you to leave the money. You know, you don't need to make a whole lot out of it. You just need to be very clear that, you know, I need you to do that.
Okay. I knew you would have the answer. It's awkward because I don't have to deal with this very often. People don't do this very often to me.
I had one, I don't know if I told you about this. Stop me if I did, but I had a customer called me and I groom her Westie and her Schnauzer. And I really am pretty good with the Westies and I have use my product and get their little heads up and everything. And I have two other Westie owners that know this woman that live in the same general neighborhood. And it was kind of a word of mouth thing amongst the three of them, you know. And one of those people is a former heavily involved show person.
Oh boy.
Who is very critical of everything.
Yeah, that's never easy.
You know, and then a third one is just an average pet owner who just got tired of getting seven blade strips on their Westie as though that was how they're groomed, you know. Yeah. So I have these three people. Well, my original customer with the schnauzer and the Westie calls me to say that. The other two I haven't seen in a while. And one of them actually just failed an appointment and then didn't respond to a follow-up. So I said, have you heard anything about your neighbors with their Westie? I'm just curious what happened. So she says she talked to the neighbor with the pet Westie, and the neighbor said that after their last grooming, they thought that maybe my assistant had groomed the dog.
Really?
Instead of me, and that it was a lousy job.
Huh.
Well, this is something that my customer thinks that they got that notion from the show lady who said on seeing how the original customer's dog looked right after grooming, well, your Westie looks great. My Westie looks like just another pet. You know, I think Barbara let her assistant groom her. Now, you know what? This is really... It's a little upsetting to me, but I'm letting it go. But there's an undertone that I don't like. There's an undertone of distrust that I would, without asking, have another person groom their dogs, which I would never, ever do.
Nope.
And the second thing is there's a little back hint of racism in there because my assistant is an older Mexican-American woman. And the only times that, you know, like, and that there's just kind of, it just kind of smells.
Feels a little dirty.
Feels a little dirty to me. And I don't like that. You know, first of all, if I ever have an assistant that I'm training and I have them groom a dog, it's with total transparency.
Yeah, full disclosure. Know, same here.
Full disclosure. You know, would you mind if I allow my assistant to groom your dog today because I want to teach her how to do something or other? You know, that's always, I've always been totally clear about that. And so that it pisses me off that they think so little of me. And you know, it's just chicken shit on their part that they don't want to confront me with their disappointment in their grooming. Please, the ultimate passive-aggressive bullshit. Just tell me if you're unhappy. You know, like, my clients are my supervisor. You know, I am not the most consistent groomer. I am an old lady. Sometimes I have great days.
Me
sometimes,
too.
Sometimes I have not so great days.
Me too.
Sometimes I run out of time on a particular dog. Sometimes you come early and I have to quickly fix that head up. You know,
so like, I've got an interesting situation. I've got two Westies, mom who is probably 60, maybe 58, and her mom, and they both have two different Westies from different breeders, right?
Right.
The daughter's dog is spectacular. I couldn't do a bad haircut on him. The mother's dog has absolutely horrendous conformation and bad hair and skin problems.
Ugh.
And it is so difficult because I do the two dogs on the same day and they look completely different. No matter how hard I try, I cannot get the badly bred, ugly, icky skin, bad hair dog to look like the spectacularly bred, beautiful, well-groomed other dog. It's so challenging. And those are just... That's just two. I can't imagine throwing a third one in. That's why I absolutely despise houses with multiple one breed dogs. Like I had five Bichons at one house.
Ah,
that is, for me, that's a nightmare because, you know, it's hard enough for me to get two of them to look similar to each other, but then to go with five and have them want to look like all they're all breed profile bred and beautiful. I mean, my nightmare. I hate that. Anyway, that's an aside. But you hadn't told us that story, so.
Well, so that came up recently, and I just let it go because the other part of it is that my customer is being a bitch to be snitching out her friend, you know, snitching. She's trying to engage me into disliking this show dog person.
Yeah, this seems like,
you know, it's like, I know. I said, look at, you know, so.
Well, very interesting.
So she said something about, but maybe I would like to email the pet person and maybe give them a free grooming. Heck no. They missed their appointment. If anything, they owe me for a grooming.
Yeah, how about bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Let them go up the street and have a 7 strip.
Well, and apparently that's what they've done. She says the dog's face looks horrible.
Ah, perfect. Well,
so there you go. So there you go. You know, like, I'm here. If you want to come back, the door's open, you know.
Well, it's funny to get involved in the friends click kind of a thing. So, or the neighborhood click or whatever it is. Very high school. So we've got some exciting stuff coming up online. We have a scissor sale coming up, don't we? I say we.
Yes, we do. As soon as I redo the document.
Yes, control save, control S. Every few minutes, every time you make enter a line, I save everything. Barbara lost a whole 2 days worth of work on PowerPoint, or not.
It was a chart. It was a chart. Yeah. It was a chart of the, we have 25 pairs of scissors lined up, ready for the sale. And when Susie was in Tucson, we took pictures of all of these and we labeled them all. Then I have to make the list that lists the scissors and what their features are and the price. And so that's what I was filling out. So it took me a half a day to get the chart with the right amounts of rows and columns. And I'm sorry. You know, I do that stuff and then you see my chart. But sometimes I go through a lot of agony working with the Word and all of that. And I just can't do any better. So then I stumbled around and I finally got it all set up and I had all 25 listed. I had prices for like at least 23 of them and I was filling in the description and I was down to number 10 and my computer froze and totally froze. I had got nothing but a pinwheel, no matter where I moved the cursor. Pinwheel, I couldn't close a document, I couldn't save, I couldn't name my chart, I couldn't do anything, I just couldn't do a single thing except shut the computer off, and I mean, I had to do it manually.
And then poof, everything was gone. What we're going to do is we're going to put it up on Facebook and we're going to put the picture up, the description and what they were cost was originally. And then we'll deal with I don't know how we're going to do. We're going to do a bidding or we're going to put up the minimum fee or the first person sold or whatever. But it's all going to take place on Facebook. So you guys, if you're not part of our Facebook group and you're interested in buying some of these great scissors from Arius Eichert and LaBe, and I mean, they're just really
Talon.
Nice. Really nice assortment of scissors that Barbara's got coming up for sale. Get on our Facebook group. And speaking of our Facebook group and really the podcast, we've got to come up with a game plan for 2018 since it is upon us. So what I'd like to know from you guys and Barbara as well is what do you guys want from us? One of our main focus is to let you kind of drop into our conversations and listen to what we talk about. But we also want to cover subjects that you guys want us to cover. And we'd like to, you know, see what other different areas you might be interested in having us explore. So I'm going to put a poll up with some options. I'm not sure what those options are going to be, but I'll put a poll up on the Facebook group sometime. And you guys can vote for some ideas or some directions, or you can comment in the bottom and let us know what you're thinking. And we will kind of form our game plan through that.
So one of the things that I will do in the next week is come up with a tentative webinar series.
Okay.
For the next four webinars.
Cool.
I would like to see us do some live video.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'm almost brave enough to do it. I think just little things, just a single topic to just come on and maybe answer a question.
And yeah, okay.
Just kind of go on there as is, you know.
We can do that. So maybe what I need to do is set up a GroomPod YouTube webpage. So I will look into that. I don't want to, I've got my own page that we do. Well, yeah, let me ponder how to best do that. But I think that's a great idea. We can share it on Facebook. We could even do it on Facebook Live.
That's what I was thinking of doing, Facebook Live. But then can you save those?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they save into the feed. So that would be a good spot.
I think if we just kind of broaden our scope here a little bit, and, you know, I don't want to do every Sunday broadcast live because I still want to be able to kind of schlep around on Sunday morning and, you know, and I'm just having to get used to what I look like. I know that nobody understands this, but people, when you turn 70, something happens. this new person starts showing up in the mirror and on the video screen that you barely recognize, you know? And I tell you, it's one thing to go get a photo done, you know, and then they touch it up all nice for you and you look like you're very professional author best, you know.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
That's what, yeah, but to really, these cameras, my camera is just like so brutal, you know.
Well, this is encouraging, Barbara. I'm excited. We'll start to put some of that together. We'll get some Facebook Lives and some maybe a little bit of YouTube content up there. So cool. I think it's a great direction for us to go. And you guys, we want to know where you want us to go. But this is just yet another reason why we want you on the Facebook group. That's the best place to get in touch with us. That's where we post everything. And really, you know, it's where the show notes are and all that stuff. And plus, we've got a great community there. Let's hear from Best Shot. And then we are going to go on to our first appointment, which is about aggressive dogs. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro-Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
You guys have wanted me to talk about aggressive dogs. It's a difficult subject because it is such a visual subject to talk about. But speaking of visuals, there was a visual on Facebook this week of a poor groomer who got, well, basically mauled in PetSmart by a pit bull mix. And did you see that picture?
Yes, I saw her arm.
I feel horrible.
I know. I just thank God she didn't get it in the face. But see, there's a difference between getting bit and getting mauled.
Yes.
And, you know, even when you get bit, it's like an affront. You know, it's like it's really hard not to take it personally. But when you get mauled, it's like a violent rape.
It's very
you know,
much
it's,
that.
And you know what? It was a pit bull, and that's her favorite breed, and she owns one. And, you know, it's so tough.
A corporate shop, too.
Well, in a way, that's good because she can sue, and they're very well insured, and she'll get a lot of money. You know, I mean,
so.
Yeah, I think so, because the dog had a history.
Yeah, that was not disclosed, by the way, as far as I understand.
The dog had a history and had brutally bit another person, and the owners didn't disclose that. So the owners will hear from her lawyer.
Well, they'll hear from PetSmart's lawyer, I bet.
They'll hear from PetSmart's lawyer. And see, PetSmart will have a lot of support. They just, you know, like they just got, it's not the same as if it were an independent groomer like you and I getting mauled and we would just have to look to our pals.
Yep.
You know?
So there's a big difference between a dangerous dog and a dog that has some aggression. Aggressive dogs are pretty predictable a lot of the time. Like they're predictably aggressive. They're aggressive in a cage, or they're aggressive towards other pets, or they're aggressive because they hurt, or they're reactive, or they're protective, or they're frightened. If you got a dog that is reactive for those reasons, it's easier to deal with than, in this case, a really large dog that has, you know, kind of an unrealistic response. Because in this case, the dog didn't just bite her, but it continued on, you know. A lot of times, especially in our grooming environment, the dog is aggressive when you're aggressive. But if you back off, then the dog doesn't come after you and pin you in the corner most of the time. There are dogs that will. Those are dogs I recommend that people don't do in grooming shops. Those dogs need to be done in vet hospitals with a support staff, a medical support staff, and a people support staff, because if something goes wrong, somebody's going to need to take care of the dog while the person gets shuffled away to wherever they get shuffled away to. Because of that, because there's two parts, I think dogs that are really dangerous like that and dogs of substantial size should only be done in a place like a vet hospital where you've got more than one person to handle, a person specifically medically trained to handle that situation, both in the person and in the dog, and then people to kind of manage the situation. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had a dog not just bite you while you were working on them, but actually come after you?
Yes, I have. I've had some pretty bad dogs, and but the two that come to mind, I had an Airedale once that was a male, unneutered male Airedale. And the people had two. They had this nasty male and they had a really nice female. And we determined early on that the male was dangerous. I mean, you know, when a dog tracks you with his eyes wherever you are in the room, that's a clue.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of body language, and that dog snapped at me a few times, and I was alarmed because it wasn't just to stop the action snap. It was whether or not I was doing anything on him. The owner offered to come in and kind of help. So I, you know, like, okay, maybe between the two of us, we could get a muzzle on the dog or something. Well, anyway, the dog started lunging and snapping at me, and I stepped back and held my hands up and, you know, like I wasn't going to do it. Just then, the husband breezes through the front door in a three-piece suit with a jacket flapping, and he's just like, "Oh, Mr. Executive, what's going on here?" And I said, "Well, it's looking like dog three, groomer zero." And he didn't think it was funny. He said, "You're afraid of my dog. You're unprofessional." He just reamed me a new one for being wary of this goddamn vicious dog.
Airedales bite hard.
Oh, they have big freaking teeth. And so he, he didn't attach anything to the pet. It was all on because I was afraid I was asking him to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I said, "You know what? My professional training doesn't tell me not to be afraid. It tells me when to be afraid. And I know that this dog is out to bite me, whether or not I even groom him." You know, and he says, "Well, you'll not touch either of my dogs ever again." And he stomps out with his two dogs. Okay, I just said, "You know what? That's too bad. Bye-bye. And, I'm sending a prayer that that dog doesn't bite somebody else."
Yep.
You know, and then I also had an old English sheepdog that we used to do once or twice a year, and it would be totally pelted and come off in a great big long piece. And that dog was just really not nice. He was the kind of dog that seemed like he would carry on a bit with his aggressiveness, you know. But we were able to do it. And I wouldn't do that dog now. You see, you've assigned yourself as a difficult dog behavioral groomer. I'm too old for that shit.
Yeah, and that right there, that is huge, because you know not to put yourself in that situation. It's very important that you recognize whether you should do this type of dog or not, whether at all. Now, that kind of a dog probably needs to be sedated at the vet to have a reasonable grooming on it. I mean, you just have to be respectful of the groomer. You know, there's no reason to risk your life. It's dog grooming. They can pay for the sedation. If you can figure out what's causing it, and it's predictable aggression, and you have the ability to know when to pull the plug on the groom, then maybe you can handle dogs like this. Maybe not that dog. Let's not talk about dangerous dogs, because hopefully we're not dealing with dangerous dogs. Hopefully they are all automatically going to the vet. But we're dealing with aggressive or difficult dogs. A lot of those aggressive and difficult dogs are less than knee high.
Right.
Face it. They're pocket size aggressive dogs, you know. So I have limited my weight size, which helps me not have to deal with really large aggressive dogs. So that's good. But I'm really kind of tailor-made to deal with these kind of situations, because as a human, I'm not very reactive. You can't push my buttons very easily, especially in a negative way. You can't make me angry at you because you don't want something done. You know, I'm really good. I'm like very, very patient. So I'm tailor-made to deal with these difficult dogs. A lot of people are not. Actually, most people are not. Most people are reactive. And if you're reactive, it just isn't going to work. It's not going to work, because you and the dog are going to feed on each other's energy. So kind of recognize whether you can do it or not. Stay away from the really large dogs. They're, like I said before, they should be done at the vet. If you are not an expert in body language, an expert in dog body language, you shouldn't be doing these dogs, you know. And if you've been bit more than a handful of times, you're probably not an expert in body language. This is my area of expertise, and I have never had an actual puncture, ever. Not in all of the years I've been grooming, because I use my equipment, and I'm an expert at reading dog body language. And I'm fast still. You know, there's going to be the moment where I'm not fast anymore. I am still really fast, but more than that, I am really tuned into every tiny, minute hair on that dog's body. If I see a hair standing up on the back of the dog's neck, one hair, I take that into consideration. So if you are not an expert and absolutely like you've had a master's degree in reading dog body language, don't even attempt it because you're going to get bit. Don't take it lightly. This is not something to be taken lightly. Like we've talked about before, it's really an assault. You know, there's a lot of things in grooming that are scary and noisy and loud and offensive and potentially painful. And so, you know, be cautious and be serious and take all of that under consideration. If you think you're built for this, if you think you can do it, get ready to invest in some equipment because you need it. You need a lot of equipment. You need to have an over-the-table support system like a lip system. You need to have every hammock. You need to have every chain. You need to have a halties of every size. You need to have muzzles of every size and type. And I'm talking soft muzzles, basket muzzles, and hard muzzles. You need to have cones. You need to have cones of different sizes. You need to have soft cones. You need to have hard cones. You need to have a support system in the tub if you are doing big dogs. I don't need a support system because I've got another way to do it, but it's really helpful if you have a bar across the top of your tub or some way to hook the dogs up so they can't struggle with you in the tub. With a lot of the big dogs, it is really advisable to have a catch pole. A catch pole is what they used to call a rabies pole. It's a long pole with a loop on one end that you can catch a dog with.
I think everybody needs to have one of those.
I don't need one because I'm in an 8x10 trailer. I can't fit it.
Well, so, you.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I'm going to accept you. Well, I think everybody
in a shop
needs to have one because I have one that I got in my first or second year of owning my own business. I think I paid $75 for it, and it has paid for itself over and over and over again, including when little dogs or big dogs get in a cage and don't want to come out and are going to bite you if you reach in there. And I said, okay, no problem. We've got the come along.
Yes. You know, if you don't want to spend the money on it, don't do this. There's lots of other people who can handle aggressive dogs. You don't have to handle aggressive dogs.
No, you don't. You can
send them to me.
You have every right to refuse any dogs that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You don't. Well, see, that's the thing. I don't care how broke you are. You do not have to groom every dog that walks in the door.
Yep.
You know, I turned away a Bichon. I turned away an elderly Bichon, and that would normally be an area of specialty for me. But that dog started snapping and growling and snarling at me from the owner's arms, and forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to do it. I don't mind doing it. It's okay. I actually enjoy it a little bit. I hate to admit it. I love those big personality dogs. So if you've got somebody to help you out, that can be helpful, you know, a second person to distract or hold on to. But in my case, it's just me and the dog and all of my equipment, all of my very expensive and elaborate amount of equipment. It's all necessary and it all helps you when you're trying to work through it. The other thing is the environment. Some dogs react to noise. Some dogs react to quiet. You got to kind of feel it out a little bit. If you've got a really noisy environment with the radio going on and some dryers on, sometimes that's enough distraction to kind of get the dog's mind off of what's going on a little bit. Other times, you need perfect quiet to work with the dog. Perfect quiet. So you've got to be able to control those environments in your situation. Don't automatically put a potentially difficult dog in any crate that's not on the ground. You know, if you're going to put a dog in a crate, if it has to go in a crate, if you don't know it or if the owners have warned you, then don't put it in the crate. Use a pen or a run or tie it up to the wall or something else. But don't put it in a crate if you know, because crate aggression triggers a really bad grooming experience. It's just a bad beginning to a long day for them. So, you know, if you can find out that there's a problem, then don't put the dog in a crate, but never put an unknown dog in an upper crate if you can help it, because you can put yourself in a really difficult situation and have to get out that catch pole. If you get a dog in your shop and you don't know that it's a bad dog, a difficult dog, I'm not going to call it a bad dog. You don't know it's going to be a difficult dog. Please, if you can't handle it, stop what you're doing. call the owner and let them come get the dog back. Don't be hesitant about that. You know, this is your livelihood. If you get bit in the hand, you could be out for a long, long time. So give yourself a break. Like Barbara was saying, you don't have to do every single dog.
We had a St. Bernard one time. Well, and actually I was away from the shop, and the staff of the moment, that's when I had a little bit of a staff, was handling things. And I got a call, and it was from my shop, and they said, the St. Bernard has us pinned up in the back.
Oh, no. That's not good.
And it was a dog. We had done it a couple of times before just fine. And then all of a sudden it came into the salon, and they go to put it in the tub, and it ain't having it. You know?
Holy
and
moly.
And not only that, you better get away from me. And not only that, don't touch my leash. You know? And so they had to like lock themselves in the bathroom and call the people. Well, first they called the people first, and then they, you know, like, and
wow, that's a little more excitement than I would like to have. So if you are not confident, and if you can't put yourself into a zen state, and if you are nervous, the dogs are really going to pick up on that. So you have to fake it. If what you need to do is fake it till you make it, then by golly, you better be able to fake it really, really well. So I'm going to describe to you the nail trim on one of my more difficult nail trim dogs. This is a Shih Tzu who's badly constructed. This dog does not like to be lifted, but if you don't lift him, he's okay. He will come after you. He will aggressively come after you. He will bite your foot. He will bite your heel. For me, in the case of him, it's when I'm trying to leave the house that he gets the most aggressive for me. He does not want me to leave the house. He wants me to stay. So he goes after my heel and he goes after my shoe. But we have him harnessed before I get there. I do full groom on this dog, but most of the rest of it, we've gotten past. I get him into the trailer. He goes up a ramp, so I don't have to pick him up. That instantly lessens his discomfort with grooming. He goes up the ramp. On my table, I already have my, very important to have an emergency release latch on your grooming table loop so that you can release the dog if something goes wrong. I mean, really release the dog quick and safely. So I have a latch, one of those quick release latches that I use on my horse cross ties, right? So I've got the grooming loop on there. I've got one chain, the little short chain, is hooked up to the bottom of the fixed noose. And then the groomer's helper, and it's only attached. Let me start this over again. So I've got the dog. He goes up onto the table on the ramp. I already have the loop hanging, and it's open and ready to go. Attached to the bottom of the fixed ring is the short chain with the two connectors that hooks up onto the bottom of the lip system. It's only attached on the loop side. It is not attached to the table yet. The groomer's helper is loose, all the way loose, and also attached to the fixed ring. So the groomer's helper is attached. The other one is not. I put the dog in. I hold him in my hands. I tighten the grooming loop so that I can control his head at all times. It's really important with these dogs that you never, ever, ever, ever have their head loose. Ever. You never have their head so that it won't be caught before it bites you in the face. You always stay within the distance away so that the dog can't snap in your face, because you're going to put your face down there. It's got to be down there. Then I take the chain up. I hook it onto the bottom of the lips noose, the bottom of the lips pole. And then I tighten up the groomer's helper. So now he is cross-tied in between the groomer's helper and the lips like a horse. I put the belly strap on him, and he knows his business now. He knows what's going on. So he starts to panic a little bit, but he can't go anywhere, but he'll shake his head a lot. I let him surrender and he'll stop. I put the T-strap up, grab it through his legs, and I hook it up to the back of the lip system. Barbara's... I was going to describe that, but then I realized... So now I have the dog completely strung up, if you will. I've got the hip strap, T-strap through his legs. I've got both ends of the hip strap attached up top. I've got the grooming loop attached up top. And I have two connection points on the dog's head. He can still bite me. What I'm going to do is go from behind, hand flat on the table, and I'm going to go up and I'm going to grab a front leg. My hand will never come off the table. It stays at table level. And I'm going to bring that dog's foot back to where he can't get me with his head. Then I'll lift it up and I'll trim the nails from the back of the dog. So I have to be underneath the dog. The dog table has to be high enough so I can see well enough. If I need to, I'll put a headlamp on so I can light up that nail. But I'll do it as low as possible, close to the table. And in his case, across his body, because his legs don't go straight back. They go across and underneath because his shoulders are too tight. So I'll do that whole foot. No matter how much he struggles, I'll finish the entire foot and then I'll let it go. Then I'll do the same thing for the other front foot. Scoop my hand up all the way on the table. I'll grab the leg. He'll try to get me. I'll pull it back gently at table level. Then I'll lift it up when it's at the end of its reach across his body and I'll do those nails. That takes me a little while, you can imagine. But I've never been bit because I'm using every bit of my equipment. If you're not willing to take the time to do that, doing difficult dogs is not for you. Send them to me. I'll take them all. Anything else we should add to that, Barbara?
You're such an expert, Susie. I love it. I love it. Thank you for your description. Now, there again, you don't have to do them all. But if you have a pet that's aggressive about certain things, you can kind of work around that because you're prepared. And I'll remember my story about Mr. Bear, who I developed a certain way. He wouldn't let anybody pick him up, but I developed a certain way of bringing him out of the bottom cage. Yes. And he would go to my electric table that was down at the lowest point and put his front paws on it, and he would let me boost him onto the table. And from there, I could lift him into the tub. I just couldn't go from the floor up. So when the one time in our life that, and my goal was to complete this dog's grooming for his life without ever getting bit. And I did it.
Yay.
You know, I knew for years that dog had the potential for biting me, but I did certain things like no eye contact. So important. I would never look him in the face. I adhered to his rules about not picking him up. I let him show me a way that would work. And when the owner one time in an angry moment took them to PetSmart, it lasted all of 15 minutes before he got the call that no one could touch Mr. Bear.
Ha ha ha! Yeah, I love it. I love stories like, see, I love to work with dogs like you that. Know, it totally you know, boosts my confidence. Like Edgar. Know. I tell you how I do his nails, but I forget when he first came to this family, you couldn't touch his face at all. It took me a long time to realize that he, when he can't see past all the hair, he just gets very reactive. So as long as I do it in the bathtub and I do it first, he lets me grab his chin and he lets me hold it tight enough so that now he just puts his head in my hand. But at first I'd hold it tight and I would ever so carefully scissor out all of that hair right off the bat. And then he could see and he was less reactive. You know, you just got to figure out what works with them. And you know, it takes time and it takes the ability to read the language and it takes you not getting defensive or not letting it push your buttons to figure out all of the clues that they're giving you and to be able to work with them. If you want to do it, it's extremely rewarding. There you go.
There you go.
Okay, let's hear from South Bark. And then, one more thing. We thought about doing a video. But the truth is, to put a video up of handling an aggressive dog, there's just going to be too much negativity that will be associated with the handling of the dog. And if there was a way I could do it and it would guarantee that it would only be groomers who saw it and that kind of a thing, then I would put up a visual. But the best that I can do at this point that I'm comfortable with, because I am sensitive and I could get my feelings hurt and we don't want that, is that I will just describe it to you as best I can. So that's why I chose to do it that way.
Well, you know what, Susie, that's so true that I have perfectly innocuous videos up on YouTube that I get these horrible, you know, like horrible comments. There's people that just are looking for trouble. And you have to have really thick skin to do YouTube public videos.
Yeah,
so we have to keep that in mind, because people outside the industry, they don't understand.
Yep.
They think that we've done something to the dogs to make them be that ugly, you know, and it's just a hard act to balance. So I think you're right. We can't put that up. You know, it's like if we had done a video of Milton, the Schnauzer. I mean, I'm so lucky that the family understands that it's Milton and not me.
Yeah, I will say that being in a trailer in the summer with the door open, wrestling an aggressive dog is a really, it's quite a verbal experience for the dog, for myself, for the people walking past. You know, because I'm free to the world. You can just look right in at what I'm doing in there. And for the most part, it's understanding. But some of the dogs, I have to close the door.
We need privacy. Yeah, we need privacy for your behavior.
All right.
Okay, all right. Okay. Let's move along. Where are we?
We're headed over to, actually, we're going to hear from South Park, and then it's back to school time. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Veterinary vocabulary. Are you ready?
Ready.
Ascarid.
What? Is this some kind of a worm?
Yes, it's a round worm. You get a gold star for that. You must have had that stored in your brain somewhere.
I might. Look it. My brain worked. I know it.
Contrary to some popular belief.
Contrary to my popular belief. Thank you, brain. You worked. That one was like hanging in the front there.
Cool. Well, and it has to do with a worm specifically in the intestines. So roundworm is a good example, but it's any intestinal worm. And the reason that I bring it up is because we don't want to give that blank look to the vet when we're talking to them about the worm situation. So if they use that term, you'll know they're dealing with an intestinal worm. Grooming glossary this week is well laid back. We were covering what last week was because I deleted it, but it had something to do with...
Does it have to do with me in a recliner chair?
Could be. Actually, well laid back has to do with the angulation of the shoulder. This is, of course, one of the landmarks we use for grooming. One of the landmarks we use for profile grooming is the shoulder angulation. And if it's well laid back, it means that it's a well angulated shoulder.
How do you know when it's not a well angulated shoulder?
Then it's more upright. Then the angle of the shoulder is more upright as opposed to well laid back. It's supposed to be a 45 degree angle, I believe. For
all dogs? No. Some dogs.
Not necessarily for all dogs, because it has to do with the connection of the shoulders and the neck. So if the neck connection, if it's a shorter neck dog like a Westie, it's not going to have quite as laid back a shoulder as, say, a poodle with a long, graceful neck. Am I right?
I think you're right.
Yeah. It's one of those concepts that really took me a long time to get. Like Michelle Evans would describe the angulation of the shoulder, and I'd look at the dog and I would see none of it. I can finally see it, but I still don't find it all that helpful. But I can recognize a good one and a bad one. All right. Definition du jour, Barbara.
Okay. So today we are inquiring, what is a C of A?
Yeah, what is that? It was very cryptic.
Certificate of Authenticity.
Oh, and I was like going Cosmetology of America. I thought I was going to, you know, I was racking my brains, but okay, Certificate of Authenticity.
Okay, so C of A is a document in aromatherapy that defines the purity of the essential oil. Okay, so it's something that you would find from some suppliers as to the authenticity of the product.
Where it's sourced or what it's made
where
of?
All of that. Well, of that. It's so certificates of authenticity can vary in how much information. But they give you the country of origin. They give you the plant, what it's derived from. They give you the botanical name of the plant that it's derived from. You get to know how it's, is it farmed? Is it wildcrafted? Is it organic? Is it this or that? It gives you the, and sometimes, if you're lucky, gives you the how cultivated, the parts used, and the quality in here. And sometimes you also will get shelf life. That's interesting. So you have the analysis date, which gives you an idea of when the supplier received the batch. So this is something that really has to be done batch to batch, because essential oils can differ batch to batch because of agricultural differences year to year or season to season or whatever. So it's good to know the analysis date. For fun, I looked at Lang Lang. You know, Lang Lang is an oil that's distilled sometimes in four steps. So you have Lang Lang 1, Lang Lang 2, Lang Lang 3, like that. And I wanted to know, because this company that I've started buying from provide certificate of analysis sheets, what the difference in the different distillations of Lang Lang might be. So I printed them out and I'm looking at it, and we'll make that be another topic. But in this case, they gave me plenty of information about the constituents. Not all suppliers provide certificate of analysis, and not all certificates of analysis include a complete constituent analysis, but they at least give you the botanical origin, where it was from. In this case, the Lang Lang is from Madagascar.
Oh.
It's steam distilled. The parts used are the flowers, the cultivation, all three of these. Well, it would be basically, they're all farmed. Shelf life is 2 years, but Lang Lang first distillation is May 2016. Another analysis was a batch of September 2017.
It sounds like the Lang Lang takes a long time to make.
The Lang Lang is a very slow, long distillation. Yeah, I think maybe we'll talk about that next week. But I wanted to let you know that it doesn't really mean that having a certificate of analysis means that the company is being very transparent, right?
Certificate of analysis or certificate of authenticity?
Well, it's both.
It's both, okay.
Yeah, it's it's certificate of analysis.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so which
is basically
says the authenticity.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you know, like it says quality 100%. It's information that some suppliers have and other suppliers don't, because having a lab and having the ability to analyze or sending something out, that's going to add to the cost. And it just isn't worthwhile for every company to be doing every analysis. So you have to kind of go back to find the original wholesaler to find some of these certificates, right? I'm just interested in looking at that and seeing. I like to see what they say for shelf life. I like to see the date of when it was analyzed, because that tells me pretty much when my supplier got this batch. Is it new? Is it old? You know.
So here's a question. Does like Young Living and the doTERRA, do they give authenticity and analysis paperwork with their stuff?
I don't think they do. They talk about that they do an analysis and an authentication process, but I don't see, I went to their websites, I don't see how to access that information. But this company that I started dealing with, they have a list of all of their essential oils. And if you click on it, you come up with a profile, a cost thing, and another place where you can click to go to the C of A. And it brings it up. And when you order from them, you get copies of the C of A of that batch. Now, if you order again and it's the same batch, they're not going to send you another certificate. But when you first get a batch, they'll send you the certificate, or if you ask for them. So it's just an interesting development in the aromatherapy essential oils business. We never questioned that in the old days. You know, you assumed if you were working with a good distributor, a good supplier, that everything was cool.
That's back when you could trust.
That's
a lot harder these days.
It is, yeah. And one of the reasons that it's harder is that these huge companies, Young Living and doTERRA, have so taken over the marketplace. They have placed such a demand on the oils that there's a more impetus to add things, to cheat, you know, because to stretch, it's just because it's becoming harder and harder to meet demands.
Yes, indeed. Well, here's a demand. I demand to know how you're coming along with your evolution cheers. That's a segue, folks. That is a good segue.
Good. Very good. Brilliant.
On the fly, yes.
Brilliant on your part.
Have you been working with him a little bit more?
Yeah, I have been working with him. And, you know, it does become easier as you use them, and if you don't think about it too much while you're using a swivel thumb shear. And of course, my swivel thumbs are chunkers. So what I did last week, a big doodle puppy that had kind of like a fringe of stuff on the, I mean, it's getting fluffier and fluffier. So they didn't really want a whole lot of length taken off, but I used my chunkers just to get the top of it trimmed down. And I used the evolution chunkers and they worked pretty well with me. I still have a little bit of a problem using them pointed straight down. It strains the top of my hand, not so much my wrist and thumb. But I really like the action. I like the scissor ability of the shears. The blades,
the quality
are excellent.
Yeah, and definitely.
And I'm just making friends with the swivel thumb technology. But I see they're not stressing my thumb. They're just stressing parts of my hand that I'm not used to using with those kind of scissors. And I think I'm going to get more and more used to it as I keep on scissoring.
I'm having a really good time. The thing that I most want to stress to anybody who's interested in trying these out, and I do encourage you to try them out, the trying out process is long. If you don't keep at it, you're never going to get used to them because they're so different from my regular shears. So I like to break things down just to the basic of elements when I'm learning things, especially. So when I was talking to the people at Evolution, and I was talking to Chris specifically, I decided to just get the straights because I wanted to start with the simplest form of scissor, the one that would require the least amount of adjustment in my use, you know, the one that I could use for the most basic of trimming. And after using them for now, like over a month, I've decided to step up and buy the curves. And the thing that has helped me the most is to not overthink it. Don't overthink it. Just let them fall naturally into your hands. Like the placing of my hands into the scissors, when I was really trying to get them into a specific spot, it was becoming more difficult. Now, when I just grab them and start to use them, I find my hands go into a very natural spot on them. So we will continue this process when my curves get here later this week. I'm excited to try them, but I feel like I've conquered the straights. I enjoy them. I'm not even grabbing I do grab my offsets because I really like those, the ones with the bent shank. Those are my favorites. And I do grab them because they're really easy.
I have one of those in the pile of scissors that we're going to be selling.
Yes, I remember taking a picture of those. Well, I like them. They're very helpful for me. But when I go to grab a straight shaft, I'm always grabbing the swivels now. So I wanted to let everybody know where they can find these shears. If you go to evolutionshears.com, their whole product line is on there and a nice description about them. And this is two groomers who were sharpeners, married couple who developed these shears. And I really do think they're, like you said, they're really good quality. I'm enjoying learning them, but don't give up. Like if you try it for a week, you're never going to get used to the scissors. You'll never pick them back up again. If you force yourself to use them for a while and they become more natural to you, you'll find you'll pick them over the other ones. So Evolution Shears phone number is 877-560-3057. Ask for Chris and tell her you heard it on the Groom Pod. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Now to our At the Table segment, which is a discussion that's been happening on Facebook quite often. Is it okay to refer to the pet as it? So tell me about your experience on Facebook with this.
Well, it just happened in the last couple of days. You know, I don't know. It seems like, who cares? But it's the conversation is going on and on. So groomers really care. So I don't know. Somebody just wrote, is this rude? You know, I don't know if a customer got offended or something. But some groomer did not refer to the pet as he or she, but referred to the pet as it. Now, is that offensive? Well, I think it could be.
Yeah.
It could be people, the way they personalize their pets, you know, what do you mean it? But it's objectifying. Same thing calling women chicks, you know. It's objectifying. It's turning the animal into a thing, you know. But sometimes it's done in a sort of lyrical, humorous. Oh, what a cute little thing, you know? Isn't it cute? You know. So when it's done in that context, I don't find it insulting or unprofessional. But if it's done instead of getting to know the sex and name of the animal, it is rude.
Yeah, you know, if you were to call a person it, if you would say, go ahead and tell them to put it, how would you even, I mean, ew. Yeah, it's not good. I don't like it. It's not good. It bothers me.
It bothers you. I know. Well, I can hear you. I hear you. And I think that, so it can be offensive or not offensive, depending on the context, really. You know, and it's not rude not to know the gender of every pet. I mean, because, you know, I've got pets named that where the name can go either way.
Yes.
You know, and I've got a bather who switches gender on pets real easy. She never she never calls them it.
But I could see that.
But she'll call them a good girl or good boy when they're not even that, you know? So, I mean, so it's, you know, and I correct her every time. When I hear her starting to go to the wrong gender, I said, girl, good girl, you know? But people want to think that you relate to their pet as an individual.
I draw the line, it's a front of the house, back of the house thing. If you're kidding around with your other groomers or your help or the people you work with and other people in the industry and you throw it out there, like you said, as a funny thing or just to refer to a dog that you don't know personally, that's fine. I think when we're dealing with the public, and especially in particular, the owner of the pet that you are dealing with, the use of language is important and it displays a lot of different things about you. My dad always said people, you know, judge you by the way you speak. And it is true. And so if you want to portray an image to the person who's leaving their trusted family member with you, that you are trusting and loving and you care about their animal, you know, that you care about their pet, their family member in a very personal way, choose your words lightly. Or choose your words carefully. Don't choose your words lightly. That's what I'm trying to say. So I think we agree.
Yeah, I always like to use the dog's name. In fact, when a new customer comes in, I usually greet them as they open the door and say, oh, this is Dilly and Mrs. Robinson, you know?
Yep.
And so then right away, they got that I know who they are. And, you know, so that's kind of nice.
Who's important in the greeting there? Who's important? Yeah. The first bird?
Yeah, yeah. The dog, you say, you know. Yep.
I've got a loose bird.
Okay, well, we're just about ready to finish up. You can
this is so funny, you guys. I'm looking at Barbara on the camera, and when I talk, I'm a big picture. But when I'm listening to her, I'm a little picture in the corner. And all of a sudden, over my shoulder, my parrot's head popped up off the bed. So I know that he's loose. So we're going to call it a day anyway. Thanks for being here, Barbara. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And I'm just really excited for what might be ahead for us as the Groom Pod this year.
I agree. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Happy grooming, everybody. See you here next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.